Notice what the Bible said in verse number 6 of Philippians chapter number 1. If you haven't committed this verse to memory, it would do you well to do so. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I want you to know tonight that Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, he was confident that the one that started the work in that church will finish the work in that church. The one that started the work in our lives will finish the work in our lives. His brother Jack was praying a while ago. He asked God to let the church be a beacon on the hill. And I don't know why I thought about this. I haven't thought about it. I can't tell you when. But I grew up northeast of Baltimore City. And it was not uncommon for a business to get one of those lights that shot way up into the heavens. I mean, how many's ever seen one and it just rolled? And people would just go and try to find out where that light was coming from. Amen. And I believe that's the way God would want our church to be a light. Amen. The world's dark, and I believe he wants us to be that light. Pray with me a moment. I want to talk to you tonight for just a little while about the child of God's confidence. Father, thank you tonight for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, to be here tonight in the house of God. I pray, Lord, tonight that you'll clothe us in our calling and help us, God, tonight to glean something that would help us in these days. Father, I do pray for our country. Lord, we're definitely at a crossroads. Lord, I know tonight that you're merciful, but I wonder, Lord, sometimes how much longer the mercy is going to last that you've shown this country. God, I pray that you'll help us tonight. I pray for those, Lord, in North Carolina. God, I thank you, Lord, for those that have given, and Lord, those that are bringing supplies. And Lord, I thank you that maybe someone will be warm this winter that otherwise would be cold because of what we've been able to do. Lord, it's not much, but little is much when God is in it. Help us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. And amen and amen. What I want to talk to you tonight about first is confidence misplaced. Some people have misplaced their confidence, and the child of God certainly cannot afford to do that. The Bible said in Job chapter 31 and verse number 24, if I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence. Some people's confidence is in the stock market or in their bank account, in their possessions, in their riches. And I've read this, but in the Great Depression, when the stock market crashed, many people took their own lives. Their confidence was in the wrong place. Amen. I want you to understand tonight, beloved, that our confidence is not supposed to be in gold and silver. I've said many times, there's nothing wrong with having things, but there's something bad wrong when things have you. Amen. And God has blessed us, but we shouldn't put our confidence there. And then the Bible said in Proverbs 25 and 19, the confidence is misplaced when it says, confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. I want you to think about that. Tonight you're blessed and you've never broken a tooth. But I'll tell you, if a tooth splits on you, it's painful. Amen. And God said, don't put the confidence in an unfaithful man because it's like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. And then in Psalm 20, verse number 7, we're talking about misplaced confidence. The Bible said, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of our God. That's a way in the Old Testament there that we would say today, some are putting their trust in their tanks and in their military, in their air force, in their bombs, and things of that nature. I've told you before, I believe in a strong military. But I tell you, if we're God's people, beloved, that shouldn't be where our confidence lies. Amen. I'll tell you, there's someone bigger than the biggest bomb this world has ever seen. Amen. And we serve him tonight. We love him tonight. He's our Savior tonight. And then in Philippians chapter 3, the Bible said, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." So our confidence is misplaced if we're placing it in gold and the money and the things of this world. If we place our confidence in an unfaithful man, it's misplaced. If we place our confidence in power and might and our military might, our confidence is misplaced. And certainly tonight the Apostle Paul said, if you put your confidence in your flesh, your confidence is misplaced. Amen. And I believe tonight we need to remember these things. The Bible said in Psalm 118 and 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And then Psalm 118 and 9, it said it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. And so tonight, I hope as God's put this in my heart, that through all of this, I'm just going to say it like it is, mess, we can have some peace in our hearts. Amen. And no, beloved, listen, there's someone above the shadows. There's someone, beloved, that knows what we need and put our confidence and our trust in him. First, I'll give you some things tonight. Let me see how many I got here. There's one, two, just three things tonight that I want to talk to you about in the child of God's confidence. Number one, our confidence should be in the man, Christ Jesus. The Word of God said, "For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." I want to ask you something tonight. There's a lot at stake in our country. Have you prayed about it? Have you talked to the mediator? Amen. Listen, you say, "Well, Pastor, it's out of our control." It is, but it's not out of his. Amen. We serve a God that moves on the hearts of men. And so we need to have our confidence in the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 65 and verse number 5, the Bible said, "By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth." Our confidence ought to be in the God of our salvation. Our confidence should not be, beloved, in princes. Our confidence should not be in power, but it should be in this man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 26 said, "For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken." I believe tonight the Bible's got it right, amen, that our confidence ought to be in that one that loved us and gave himself for us. Proverbs 14:26 said, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." So God's people have a place to hide, amen. We have a place of peace. We have a place to get in out of the storm and get in out of this mess. And know that our Lord, beloved, is still on the throne. The child of God's confidence, we ought to have confidence in the man, that man, Christ Jesus. And then tonight we ought to have confidence in the mediator. I read to you just a while ago, "For there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus." You say, "Pastor, where did you get that?" Well, Ephesians 3:12 said this, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him." The Bible said you have not because you ask not. And then you ask and you have not. There's one reason is because you ask amiss. Another reason is the Bible said let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. If we talk to the Lord and we don't have confidence that he hears us, and we don't have confidence that he loves us and that he wants to answer our prayer, then, beloved, we're lacking. We need confidence in that mediator. The Bible said in 1 John 5:14, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." You know, I believe you can pray 2 Chronicles 7:14 and pray it in the will of God. if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. Listen to Psalm 27. I'm going to read just a few verses here. I'm talking about confidence in the mediator, confidence in prayer. The Bible, it's a Psalm of David, said, "The Lord is my life and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid?" How many can remember, beloved, listen, when men were men in America? Amen. They didn't back up. Amen. They didn't cow down. Amen. And beloved, they didn't run even from their military service. They loved this country. They loved that flag. They loved freedom. And many, let me just say this, many lost people loved the church and having a church in their neighborhood. Amen. And having a preacher that was bold enough to tell them the truth, even though they weren't saved. I believe there was more respect years ago for the house of God than there is even today. And the Bible said, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Listen to this. David now, he said, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Where's his confidence? He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. But listen to this last part, and to inquire in his temple. I believe God wants us, beloved, to pray, but I believe he wants us to pray with confidence, knowing that we serve a God that hears and answers prayer. If we don't ask in faith, we're really wasting our time asking. Amen. So tonight, there's confidence that's misplaced. There's confidence that's in the Lord Jesus, that man, that mediator between us and God. And then there's confidence in the mediator. Now, this is the last thing I've got in the message tonight that I want to share with you. And that is confidence in the message. Confidence in the message. I want you to listen to this verse of Scripture. In Acts chapter number 28 and verse number 31, the Bible said, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Have you ever heard somebody stand up and preach and then apologize for what they said? I don't believe that was the Apostle Paul. Do you? Amen. In other words, he had confidence that he was preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus, and that's what people needed. Amen. And I believe Stephen, when he stood up and preached one message, they stoned him to death. I believe he had confidence, amen, that he was preaching what God gave him. I believe Peter, when he stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached, he had confidence in the message that God had put on his heart. And we need confidence in that gospel message, that it is the message that changes lives. It is the message that still works today. In Philippians 1:14, we're talking about confidence in the message. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul said, I'm over here in jail. He's writing to the church at Philippi from the jail. And he said, some of the brethren have heard about me being in jail. And beloved, they just got more bold. Amen. They were confident because they understood that the message was more important than the man. Amen. Paul was locked up, but you couldn't lock up the message, glory to God, of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we need that confidence in the message. If we have genuine confidence in that message, we'll share that message. How that Christ died for our sin according to Scripture, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. I'm going to say a couple of things about this message tonight. It was a message that worked in the beginning. Nobody ever been saved without the message. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles. God just put this on my heart. To 2 Corinthians. I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I'll begin reading in verse number 3. Paul said, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Watch verse 6. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our heart." Can you go back to a time in your life, glory to God, when you were walking in darkness, but God's light, amen, that message made the difference in your life, amen, because that light shined in your heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is the message that birthed us into the family of God, amen. Now listen, that may not have been per se the message that was preached the night you got saved. Somebody might have been preaching on heaven. Somebody might have been preaching on hell. I've heard about people getting saved while a preacher was preaching on tithing. But I'll tell you what, somebody that gets saved has heard the gospel and they obeyed the gospel. They agreed with God. "I'm a sinner," just like you said, "and you're the Savior," just like you said. That was the message that worked in the beginning. But then I would give you this tonight. That's the message that works on the journey. The Bible said in Philippians 1:25, "And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for the furtherance," for your furtherance and joy of faith. God don't want us just to start right. He wants us to continue right. Amen. He wants us to start. We got start with confidence in the gospel, but then we get up and we walk with that same confidence and continue on in the joy of the Lord. It's a message that works in the beginning, but it's a message that works on the journey. We need confidence in this message. And then tonight, it's a message that works in the end. Thank God tonight. I don't know about you. I mean, I'm not real old, but I'm old. Amen. I can tell you that right now. My body tells me sometimes that I'm older than somebody said. "You're old as you feel." I say, "I sure hope not." Amen. That's my response to that. Amen. But I want to give you this. It's a message that works in the end. Listen to these verses of Scripture. "But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end." I don't believe many people will remember how we started, but they're going to remember how we finished. You know, Brother Preston, I'm looking over at you and I didn't know your mama when she got started, but I know this, she got started. But I knew your mama when she finished, amen. And it left a mark in my heart and in my life because she finished well. Say amen. The Apostle Paul, beloved, he started on the road to Damascus, but he didn't quit there. When he got down, he said, "The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." That day's coming in every one of our lives. Amen. And God wants us not just to have confidence when we first got in, and confidence on the journey, but God wants us to have confidence at the end of the journey. Amen. He said here, "If we hold fast the confidence, the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end." Hebrews 10:35 said, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." Beloved, listen, as we get closer and closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus, we need that confidence. We need a revival of that confidence. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, "And now, little children," we're talking about the child of God's confidence, "abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." You know what that tells me? That tells me that it's possible to be born again, be in the family of God, and Jesus split the eastern sky And a person walking with no confidence, they weren't looking for him. They weren't living for him. They wasn't loving on him. Amen. They were just saved. You say, Pastor, you can't believe that. Yes, I can. The Word of God said at the judgment seat of Christ, there's some that saved so as by fire. There's no reward whatsoever. Amen. They were born again and that's it. They quit right there. They didn't have confidence on the journey and confidence in the end. Amen. This message works even in the end of our life. We don't have to be ashamed before Him at His coming. We can have confidence, beloved. Not be like those people over there in Peter, that the scoffers. Where is the promise of His coming? But say, hallelujah. The Bible said He's coming. My heart says He's coming. Jesus said He's coming, and He's coming. Amen. Just like He said He is. Now watch this. The Bible said, therefore, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8, we're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm confident that when I breathe my last breath here, I'll breathe my first breath in heaven. Amen. And that is the confidence that God wants us to have in the gospel message. It works in the beginning. It works on the journey. And it works in the end. That brings me back to the first verse that we read to you tonight. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I say this, if you started the work, you're in trouble. But if God started the work, what He started, He'll finish it. Amen. He will perfect it, by the way. Amen. The Bible said, we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. That ought to be enough. If there was no gates of pearl, no streets of transparent gold, no walls of jasper, that ought to be enough to want to go to heaven. If you would study your Bible and look at Jesus and His character and His mercy and His grace and His love, it ought to be enough just to want to be like Jesus. Amen. I can't imagine, beloved, but the Bible said here, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for His Son. Thank God the Father for allowing us to be part of His family tonight. We need to have confidence. There's going to be a lot going on in the next week. I know that as I was coming to church tonight, I was listening and they said probably Russia would be one of the main players that would try to destroy confidence in the election. And there are other players that want Americans to turn on themselves. And they want us to get to the place where we just say, well, there's no use. There's no use to pray. There's no use to vote. There's no use to do what's right. That's what they're aiming for. But I tell you this, beloved, they're trying to tear down the confidence in the election. But I promise you there's an enemy tonight in every one of us's lives that's trying to tear down our confidence in the Lord. Our confidence, beloved, in the things of God. But God wants us to build those things up. He don't want that confidence to be let down, to be torn down. He wants us to know tonight that what He has said, He is able to perform. Amen. God will do what God said He would do. Thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for praying for us.